so today I'm going to be reading Geronimo's Kingdom, the Dragon Prophecy, the fourth adventure in the Kingdom of Fantasy. So let's get to the episode. The Company of Silver Dragons, Geronimo Skilton. I am a best-selling author and publisher of Rotten's Gates, the most famous newspaper mouse in Mouse Island. This is my fourth trip to the Kingdom of Fantasy. Scribblehopper, I am judge in the Kingdom of Fantasy. I am not published author, but I am an amazing poet. My poems are the best, better than all the rest. King Thunderhorn, I am the king of elves. I always appear as a white deer. My horns and hooves are made of pure gold. Sterling, I'm the princess of Silver Dragon. I'm not afraid to go into battle. I know all the tricks to tame a dragon. Sparkle, I am a Silver Dragon. Dragoness. I work for Blossom, Queen of the Fairies. I love justice and all that is good. Bestie Luckybug, I am a teeny ladybug and the princess of Kingdom of Greenfields. I am small but do my best to help those in need. Mixie Wantroll, I am a cook of the trolls. I may look like a mess, but I am an amazing chef. Not that anyone apprehends me, especially that rotten chief Horrid. Don't embarrass me. It was 5 o'clock on a Friday evening in autumn, and I couldn't wait to leave the office. I was looking forward to a peaceful weekend at home, relaxing in front of the fire with a good book. I could just picture myself in my favorite paw chair. Oh, excuse me, I haven't interrupted myself. My name is Geronimo Skilton. I am a publisher of the Rotten Gates, the most famous newspaper in Mouse Island, Iceland. Anyway, as I was saying, that evening I was about to turn off my computer and stop working. The phone rang. And at exact instant, my cell phone began playing the least squeak tone. I had 35 text messages in my inbox when a fax machine started spitting out sheets of paper all over the room, and the computer began shrieking like my cheese balls, the clown alarm clock, with the volume was Aristide, beep, 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 beep. I glanced at the screen. Holy cheese. I received 57 new emails. What was going on? I grabbed the phone, hoping to solve the mystery. Rats, it was my grandfather William Shortpaws. 9 times out of 10 grandfather calls only to yell at me. This time he shouted, Grandson, you better be ready for the grand opening. Don't embarrass me. Grand opening? I had no idea what my grandfather was talking about. Then my cell phone rang again. It was my sister Thea. Hey, Grayberry, let me know you need a photographer for the grand opening, she squeaked before she hung up. Grand opening? I had no idea what Thea was talking about. I decided to go through my email. After all, I had 57 messages. The first was from my cousin Rap. I scratched my head. Grand opening? I had no idea what Rap was talking about. I stared to read the text message, but I didn't get past the one first. It was Putina, pretty boss. Gee, good luck organizing the grand opening. See you there. Read it. I had no idea what Putina was talking about, but just thinking about her made me smile. She was such a special mouse. She's smart and kind and funny and pretty, and without even realizing it, I started to doodle her name over and over on a piece of a paper. Putina, 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 Putina. I'll do it. Suddenly, Trap burst into my office. Hey, cuz. I'm heading for a little R&R on Rat Island this week. So I need that suit for the grand opening Moronto. He squeaked. That did it. I had to find out what was going on. What grand opening? What are you talking about? I shrieked. Trav looked surprised. For some strange reason, he wouldn't look at me in the eye. You mean you don't know about the grand opening? He muttered. Then he turned white, then red, then purple. Uh-oh. I could tell this wasn't going to be good. Trap turned purple only then. He done something really stupid. 2 minutes later, I found out what it was. It was more worse than I thought. It seemed a month earlier while I was away on vacation. Trap had thrown a wild party at my house. In the middle of the party, my friend Dr. Karina von Frosty Snout and the director Mausen of Natural History had called my home and spoken with Trap. She had broken her leg and expectant and wanted to know if I could step and organize the grand opening in the Dragon Expert at the Mausum. Of course, I told her no problemo. I knew you had want to help, right? Grimmister, Trap exclaimed. I wanted explored. First, why was Trap throwing parties in my house while I was away? And second, though I wanted to help Karina, and I didn't know the first thing about dragons. So is this grand opening taking place? I asked worriedly. Trap clapped me and on the back so hard I heard my teeth rattle. Don't worry, girl baby. You have got a whole week to pull this thing together, he accounted. A week? I felt faint. A grand opening at the new Mouse City Museum of Natural History is uselessly hung a hug affair. I had need to print flyers. Write the program, organize the direction ceremony, arrange the bus fit table, order floral direction and cheese niblets. I felt sick. There was no way I could manage it all. Just then, I noticed the paper I had been doodling on Putina. I couldn't disappoint her, so I stood in my chair, held my ruler in the air and squeaked, I'll do it. What else could I say? Sob, sob, sob. Once I decided to take on the dragon project, there was no time to waste. I had so much to do. First, I made a list. Rat hairs. It was a mile long. My head felt like it was about to explode. There was no way I could get all the things on the list in a week's time. I began to sob unscrupulously. Sob. My scaredy mouselet stuck her head in the door. I gave myself a peek up. Don't be a wimp, you can do it, I told myself. I looked at my list. One right program, piece of cake. I love writing. Too bad I was writing about dragons. And I didn't know the first thing about them. I ran to the library to do research, lots of research. I was there until closing. I was what an exhausting night. On Saturday, I did more research on the internet. On Sunday, I put together my notes and the dictionary ceremony. On Monday I booked the chatteries. On Thursday I ordered the flowers. On Thursday I hired the On Wednesday I cronched the museum director. On Thursday I hired museums. On Friday I delivered the the finished program on and flyers to the printer. Finally, one night before the big opening, everything was finished. Cheesecake. I was so tired, my whole body itched. Even my fur. I thanked everyone in the office who had helped me. Then I dragged myself home. But when I climbed into bed, I couldn't fall asleep. I kept thinking about the dragon act bit. With the fly, but what about the flowers? Would there be enough food at the reparation? I just couldn't stop worrying. At last, I drifted off. But then I dreamed I was being chased by dragons. Help! My alarm clock rang the next morning. I had barely slept a wink. Oh, if only I could sleep the whole day long. But I get the monsoon. With a groan, I dragged myself into the bathroom. Pure cheese puffs. I hardly recognized my reflection on the mirror. I looked like I just seen the return of the cat killers. The most horrifying of all time. My fur was sticking up over the place. And there were dark circles around my eyes. Somehow I managed to shower, eat and get dressed in record time. Who knew why? When I arrived at the mausoleum, Frederick Fuzzy Paws and the Mercy of New Mouse City was waiting for me. He shook his paws. We talked about the weather, my books and other things. I must admit, I was so tired from lack of sleep. My brain felt like mashed potatoes. I did notice through that as we were speaking, several mice were staring at me strangely. Who knew why? I tried to pretend not to notice, but I was daring to feel terribly terribly cousinous. Everywhere I looked, bitty little eyes stared back at me. It was driving me crazy. Just then, I thought of things couldn't get any worse. I tripped on the carpet, and while trying not to fall, grabbed a plant, which was actually a cactus with rotten sharp needles. In pain, I reached to steady myself, but I accidentally grabbed a rotten plant, pulling them down around his ankles. How dare you? Do you know who I am? The rotten shrieked at me, standing in his underwear. I stared down at my paws, embarrassed. Embarrassed, and that was when I noticed something even more humiliating. Instead of a shirt, I had my pajama top. So that was why everyone was staring at me. Right then, it was time for my speech. I stuck my slippers into my pocket and scrambled to the podium. To be honest, I don't remember much about the rest of the night. I was so tired. I do remember Karina won Fossey's snout thanked me. What a good friend. Sally Ratmousen complained me on my t-shirt. Burp. Very bazaar, a nice shirt. Thanks. Well done, grandson. Oh, when would I learn? That evening, I dragged myself home. I was so exhausted that as soon as my head hit the pillow, I was out like a light. But the middle of the night, I woke up tossing and turning. I had a terrible stomachache. Itch. Oh, when would I learn not to stuff myself like Uncle Cheese Belly at the Skilton Cheddar Fest? I stumbled out of the bed, flung open the window. Myself a little fresh air. Do me some good. Then I made myself some cup of caramel tea, but slipped on my paw by accident. Youch! I squeaked. I had forgotten all about my score paw. Those character needles had really done a number on it. Now it was a turbling even more. I tried blowing on it, running it around some cold water, and even packing it in ice. Nothing worked. Oh, why couldn't I touch my nice soft fin instead of a cactus with the Brosnella sharp needles? At dawn, I fell asleep. I dreamed I was swimming in the ocean in the warmth. The sun was warm. Gentle waves. Gentle waves smoothed my paws. The smell of roses filled the air. Roses and the beach. Snore. I opened my eyes. I saw a long pink tongue licking my paw. And two enormous amber-colored eyes. It was the dragon of the rainbow and my froggy friend Scribble Hopper. They are from the kingdom of fantasy. Why are you here? I asked. the dragon of the rainbow who has a habit of singing when he speaks sang out, "We have come at Sterling's request. Oh, brave knight, you are the best. You are honest, true, and kind, and propose a brilliant mind. Plus, you hold the firebrand, which will help you in our land. Only you can stop the fight, make the land of dragons right. I must admit I liked the bit of my brilliant mind, but the kingdom of fantasy flew away instead of calling me a knight. Against my protests and the rest of the song made no sense to me. Bye, guys. So bye, guys. I'll see you later. Hi guys, so today I'm going to read a story named Ben 10 Campfire. Okay, so let's start. As you know, Ben 10 story, yes. Ben 10 Tennyson is an ordinary 10 years old with extraordinary powers. One fateful summer, his cousin Gwen and his grandfather Max set off on a summer camping adventure. During the trip, Ben wanders into the woods and finds an alien pod. When he examines it, he discovers a mysterious watch-like device called an Omnixter. Inside, in an instant, the strange device attaches itself permanently to his wrist. To Ben's surprise, it gives him ability to transform himself into variety of alien beings. However, the alien transforms are only temporary. He often turns back into Ben at exactly the wrong moment. With Grandpa Max guiding him, when Ben learns that he has a responsibility to use his special powers to help others, but sometimes he forgets and winds up getting himself and everyone around him in trouble. What's he up to now? Read the campfire and find out. Yes, there are chapter 1. We are on chapter 1. Yes. So, here are Ben's aliens, superhero identities that you'll meet in the story. Wild Mutt, Cannonbolt, Accelerate, Stinky Fly and Wild Vine. Yeah, so chapter 1. A dark country road. Grandpa Max drove his motor home, the rust bucket, through the rainy darkness as Ben and his cousin Gwen quarreled at in the back. You change yours, said Gwen. No way, you change yours, Ben retorted. Sorry, said Gwen, handing Ben a sealed envelope, but I already picked the cake. Color coordinated the balloons. I sent the invitations. By the way, here's yours. Ben threw his party invitation over his shoulder, scoffing at his cousin, who plans a birthday party 6 months in advance, he complained. The one who gets to celebrate on her actual date this year, Gwen said. What a bunch of dumb luck, Ben thought. He hated having the same birthday as his lame cousin, a girl too. Why couldn't I share my birthday with someone cool, anyone but Gwen? He thought. Slam. Gwen plopped a scrapbook on the table. See, Ben, she said, pointing to some pictures of the party she had planned. I even picked out my party games. Yeah, maybe we can even share the birthday party, Gwen. Ben groaned. I always wanted a big pink cake with little yellow bows on it. What are you going to do? Dress like Little Bo Peep? Gwen rolled her eyes and slammed her album closed. You're such a doofus head, Ben. Oh yeah, Ben leaned forward in his seat. Do what you want, he yawned. Grandpa's going to take me to laser tag for my birthday. Ben stretched his foot up onto the table between them. He pulled off one sock which had a hole where his big toe had poked through it. Man, my foot is itchy, he said, scratching. Grandpa Max, you can't miss my party, Gwen shouted and held her nose. Then she held her nose. Put your foot down. You're grossing me out. Grandpa Max glanced at the review mirror. You two share the same birthday for 10 years. He said, and if you don't stop arguing, neither of you will make it to 11, he warned. Then he reached into his travel bag and handed Ben a container. Ben, put this powder on your foot. It gets rid of all kinds of fungus odor. Gwen laughed. Ben, maybe it will get rid of you too. Ben decided to ignore his cousin and tend to his foot. He sprinkled the food powder on into his shoe. Ben cut it out. That powder actually smells worse than your stinky foot, Gwen yelled, waving her hand in front of her face. Suddenly, a boy about Gwen and Ben's age appeared in the middle of the road. "Help me, they're coming," he screamed. Grandpa Max slammed the brakes of the RV. Ben and Gwen yelled out in unison. "Grandpa," the car swerved on the wet road. Luckily, Grandpa Max was able to avoid hitting the boy. However, the boy slid over the embankment. He grabbed onto a branch to keep from falling into a deep clutch. But how long could he hold on? Ben shoved his foot back into his shoe and jumped out of the rest bucket as Gwen looked on. "Okay, I know I can help here," Ben thought. "Stinky, fly to the rescue," he shouted as he placed his armistice. Oops, he became cannon blot instead. "Man, this thing can never get right," he groaned. At that moment, the boy's hand slipped off the branch he was falling. Cannonball hurled himself over the ledge and scooped the boy just in time to catch him and break his free fall. The boy nestled safely in his grasp. He rolled to the ground. Grandpa Max climbed down the gully and carried the boy to the rest bucket. Gwen and Grandpa looked over the mystery kid. Grandpa was relieved. "Just a few cut and bruises. That's good. But he's out cold." Grandpa Max put a blanket around the boy's shoulder. It looks like he has fainted," Grandpa said. "His name is Gilbert. Gwen announced. "Whoa, how do you know that?" Ben asked. Gwen shrugged. "Woman's insulation," she said. Grandpa lifted the blanket from the boy's chest. That and the fact that he is wearing a name tag, Grandpa Max added. Gwen guessed that Gilbert might be a camper at the camp Opkinon, which was right up the road. Grandpa agreed and started up the engine while Ben and Gwen huddled around the boy. "You," Ben cringed, pointing to a hideous purple blotch on Gilbert's arm. "Look at that gross rash." He stuck out his tongue. "Bleach." Gwen looked up knowingly, "It must be some kind of fungus," she said. Grandpa Max revved up the engine. They must have a nose bank at that camp, he said. "Bye guys, tomorrow I'll read chapter 2. I hope you like this chapter 1. Stay tuned in Favorite Books Read by Rishita Bar. I'll meet you next time. Hi guys, so today I'm going to read an epic called the Ramayana. Now let's get started. The demon king Ravana, continuing his terror march, invaded Amravati, the abode of the gods. "Now Amravati is mine. No one can defeat me." Distressed, the gods went to Lord Vishnu. "Oh Lord, the demon king Ravana has captured Amravati. No divine being can kill him due to Lord Brahma's boon." But Lord Brahma said nothing about mortal beings, did he? At that time on earth, a virtuous and just king Dashratha ruled over Ayodhya. King Dashratha had 3 wives, Kaushalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. But he was still childless. "I can't help thinking what will become of the throne of Ayodhya after me." The king sought the advice of learned sages. "O king, you must perform the Prithyashti Yagna and beget sons." So the Prithyashti Yagna was performed. "And give this pudding to your queens to eat. They will give birth to 4 illustrious sons. In due course, Rama was born to Kaushalya, Bharata to King Kaikeyi, and Sumitra gave birth to 2 sons, Lakshmana and Sankruta. The 4 brothers grew up under the loving care of their parents to be intelligent and courageous. They were unparalleled in virtues and obedience to their parents and love for each other. Mother Kaikeyi, please serve my younger brothers first. They must be hungrier. You always make me do that, Rama." They received a 2 eagle of sage Vashishta and became adept in science and warfare. "I'm sure you'll hit right at the center as always, Prince Rama. And administration. If the citizens are unhappy, it means the king is an incapable ruler." And at about that time, in the nearby Dandaka Van forest, sages were being tormented by evil demons. "Ha ha ha, you will never complete your yagna." One day, King Sage Vishwamitra went to King Dashrath with a request. O King, I need your help. Please send Prince Rama and Prince Lakshmana with me to end the demon menace. Rama and Lakshmana went with Vishwamitra to Dharaka 1 and killed the furious demons Durga and Subhu. One day after the demons were killed, sage Vishwamitra took Rama and Lakshmana to Mathilya. King Janaka is holding a swarma for his daughter Sita. The man who strings Shiva's bow shall marry Sita. Soon they reached Mithila, met King Janaka, and this is extraordinary bow was given by Lord Shiva to one of my ancestors. Lifting the bow needs unusual strength. But on the day of the swarma, many kings and princes try to lift the bow. But isn't there any royal prince strong enough to lift this bow of Lord Shiva? My son, what are you waiting for? Go and lift the mighty bow. Rama prayed to Lord Shiva to give him strength, and the next moment, crack. Suddenly, who dared to break the mighty bow of Lord Shiva? It's Parshuma, the fierce Brahmin warrior, and Rama, the king of Sun Dashrata. Rama, if you can string my bow and set an arrow on it, I will acknowledge you to be incarnation of Lord Vishnu himself. In no time, Rama strung the bow and placed it on the arrow. Other than me, none could string this bow of Lord Vishnu except he himself. You must be pardon me, Lord. I failed to recognize you. Sita stepped forward and garlanded Rama. Soon King Dashrata reached Mithila. Rama and Sita were married amidst great festivities. Along with them, Lakshmana got married to Urmila, Bharata to Mandeva, and Sagrugata to Shaktuti, all of whom were Sita's sisters. When the newlywed couples arrived at Ayodhya, it was celebration time in the city. Once the festivities were over, King Dashrata summoned his minister. I wish to crown Rama as my successor. He is the eldest and the most capable. We agree with you, Your Majesty. This declaration sent a wave of joy across Ayodhya. But there was a corner in the royal palace where, have you heard? Rama is going to be crowned the king. This is good news, Mantra. Mantra, Queen Kaikeyi's old and devoted maid. Are you crazy, Queen? If Rama becomes king, Bharata will be his subject, and you a maid servant to Kaushala, poisoned her mind. Remember the two boons the king granted you when you had saved his life in a battle. Ask for them now. When King Dashrata visited Kaikeyi's chamber. What is the matter, Kaikeyi? You make promises and forget about them. Do you remember the two boons you granted me? Yes, of course I do, my dear queen. You can have your boons any time you want. Then I ask them now. I want Bharata to be made king and Rama exiled to the forest for 14 years. Kaikeyi, how can you be so stone-hearted? If you can't keep your word, I will end my life before the sun rises tomorrow. Broken-hearted, Dashrata fell ill. Mother, I will leave for the forest at once to fulfill your wish. Son, do not leave me and go. I will not live without you. I will accompany you to the forest. And so will I. So, Rama, along with Sita and Lakshmana, took the blessings of their mothers and left for the forest. Prince Rama, please do not go. Presently, they reached the bank of River Ganga. Go back to Ayodhya, Sumitra, and console my grieving father. However, Rama, Bharata and Shatrughna had gone to visit their maternal grandfather, were urgently summoned back to Ayodhya. Mother, what is the matter? Bharata, your father is no more. Now you are the king of Ayodhya. Gratitudely, Bharata learnt everything. How can you be so miraculous? I am ashamed to be your son. Meanwhile, Rama, Lakshmana and Sita had settled in the Dhaka Van. One day, Bharata sorrowfully conveyed the news about their father's death. Brother, I have come to take you back with me. Ayodhya needs you. No, Bharata, I must honor the promise father made. We must keep up the legacy for our forefathers. Then I will place your blessed sandals on the throne of Ayodhya and rule on your behalf till you return. Give me your blessings, elder brother. Soon after Bharata's departure, Rama, Sita and Lakshmana moved to Panchavati. Isn't this a charming place? But one day, oh, what a handsome man. I must have him for my husband. The next moment, oh, good-looking mortal, the moment I saw you, I knew that you were worthy to be my husband. Marry me. I'm already married. This is my beloved wife, Sita. Furious, the demoness Shrutaparkha riveted her actual form. You refused me for this ugly mortal creature. I will devour her this very moment. But Lakshmana stepped forward. Ah! Crying in agony, Shupanaka rushed to her brother Ravana, the king of Lanka. Sister, who's responsible for your such state? Rama, the mere mortal. He has dared to insult you, great king of Lanka. The next day in Panchavati. What a lovely deer. I would like to have it, my lord. Lakshmana, do not leave Sita alone. I will soon return with the golden deer. So you're playing tricks. Take that, you wily demon. Lakshmana, save me. Meanwhile, Lakshmana, save me. Lakshmana, that's your brother's voice. He's in trouble. Go and save him. But Rama told me not to. Don't worry about me. Go. Lakshmana made a circle with his arrow and chanted some mantras. Please do not step out of this enchanted circle until I come back. Meanwhile, having killed the demon Maricha, Rama was hurrying towards the cottage. Lakshmana, why did you leave Sita alone? But you called for help. It wasn't me but a demon. I hope Sita is alright. Meanwhile, O pious lady, give alms to the sage. I can't accept alms from you while you're inside an enchanted circle. It is humiliating for a sage. But the moment Sita stepped out, ha ha ha, Lord Rama, help me. A little later, Rama and Lakshmana reached the cottage and Sita, where are you? Rama and Lakshmana ran about looking for Sita when Jatayu, what has happened? Who has done this to you? Evil Ravana has carried Mother Sita away. I tried to fight him, but he slashed my wings. Hi guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode and I see you next time. Bye! Hi guys, so today I'm going to read an epic called the Ramayana. Now let's get started. The demon king Ravana, continuing his terror march, invaded Amravati, the abode of the gods. Now Amravati is mine. No one can defeat me. Distressed, the gods went to Lord Vishnu. O Lord, the demon king Ravana has captured Amravati. No divine being can kill him due to Lord Brahma's boon. But Lord Brahma said nothing about mortal beings, did he? At that time on earth, a virtuous and just king Dashratha ruled over Ayodhya. King Dashratha had three wives, Kaushalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. But he was still childless. I can't help thinking what will become of the throne of Ayodhya after me. The king sought the advice of learned sages. O king, you must perform the Prithyashti Yajna and beget sons. So the Prithyashti Yajna was performed. And give this pudding to your queens to eat. They will give birth to 4 illustrious sons. In due course, Rama was born to Kaushalya, Bharata to King Kaikeyi, and Sumitra gave birth to 2 sons, Lakshmana and Sankruta. The 4 brothers grew up under the loving care of their parents to be intelligent and courageous. They were unparalleled in virtues and obedience to their parents and love for each other. Mother Kaikeyi, please serve my younger brothers first. They must be hungrier. You always make me do that, Rama. They received a 2 eagle of sage Vashishta and became adept in science and warfare. I'm sure you'll hit right at the center as always, Prince Rama. And administration. If the citizens are unhappy, it means the king is an incapable ruler. And at about that time, in the nearby Dandakavan forest, sages were being tormented by evil demons. Ha ha ha, you will never complete your yajna. One day, King Sage Vishwamitra went to King Dashratha with a request. O King, I need your help. Please send Prince Rama and Prince Lakshmana with me to end the demon menace. Rama and Lakshmana went with Sher Vishmatra to Dandakavan and killed the furious demons Durga and Subhu. One day after the demons were killed, Sage Vishwamitra took Rama and Lakshmana to Maithilya. King Janaka is holding a swarmer for his daughter Sita. The man who strings Shiva's bow shall marry Sita. Soon they reached Mithila. Met King Janaka, and this is extraordinary bow was given by Lord Shiva to one of my ancestors. Lifting the bow needs unusual strength. But on the day of the swarmer, many kings and princes try to lift the bow. But isn't there any royal prince strong enough to lift this bow of Lord Shiva? My son, what are you waiting for? Go and lift the mighty bow. Rama prayed to Lord Shiva to give him strength, and the next moment, crack. Suddenly, who dared to break the mighty bow of Lord Shiva? It's Parshurama, the thrice Brahmin warrior, and Rama, the king of Sun Dashrata. Rama, if you can string my bow and set an arrow on it, I will acknowledge you to be incarnation of Lord Vishnu himself. In no time, Rama strung the bow and placed it on the arrow. Other than me, none could string this bow of Lord Vishnu except he himself. You must be pardon me, Lord. I failed to recognize you. Sita stepped forward and garlanded Rama. Soon King Dashrata reached Mithila. Rama and Sita were married amidst great festivities. Along with them, Lakshmana got married to Urmila, Bharata to Mandeva, and Sagrugata to Shaktuti, all of whom were Sita's sisters. When the newlywed couples arrived at Ayodhya, it was celebration time in the city. Once the festivities were over, King Dashrata summoned his minister. I wish to crown Rama as my successor. He is the eldest and the most capable. We agree with you, Your Majesty. This declaration sent a wave of joy across Ayodhya. But there was a corner in the royal palace where, have you heard? Rama is going to be crowned the king. This is good news, Mantra. Mantra, Queen Kaikeyi's old and devoted maid. Are you crazy, Queen? If Rama becomes king, Bharata will be his subject, and you and you, a maid servant to Kaushala, poisoned her mind. Remember the two boons the king granted you when you had saved his life in a battle. Ask for them now. When King Dashrath visited Kaikeyi's chamber, what is the matter, Kaikeyi? You make promises and forget about them. Do you remember the two boons you granted me? Yes, of course I do, my dear queen. You can have your boons any time you want. Then I ask them now. I want Bharata to be made king and Rama exiled to the forest for 14 years. Kaikeyi, how can you be so stone-hearted? If you can't keep your word, I will end my life before the sun rises tomorrow. Broken-hearted, Dashrata fell ill. Mother, I will leave for the forest at once to fulfill your wish. Son, do not leave me and go. I will not live without you. I will accompany you to the forest. And so, Rama, along with Sita and Lakshmana, took the blessings of their mothers and left for the forest. Prince Rama, please do not go. Presently, they reached the bank of River Ganga. Go back to Ayodhya, Sumitra, and console my grieving father. However, Rama, Bharata and Shatrughna had gone to visit their maternal grandfather, were urgently summoned back to Ayodhya. Mother, what is the matter? Bharata, your father is no more. Now you are the king of Ayodhya. Gratitudely, Bharata learnt everything. How can you be so miraculous? I am ashamed to be your son. Meanwhile, Rama, Lakshmana and Sita had settled in the Dandaka Van. One day, Bharata sorrowfully conveyed the news about their father's death. Brother, I have come to take you back with me. Ayodhya needs you. No, Bharata, I must honor the promise father made. We must keep up the legacy for our forefathers. Then I will place your blessed sandals on the throne of Ayodhya and rule on your behalf till you return. Give me your blessings, elder brother. Soon after Bharata's departure, Rama, Sita and Lakshmana moved to Panchavati. Isn't this a charming place? But one day, oh, what a handsome man. I must have him for my husband. The next moment, oh, good-looking mortal, the moment I saw you, I knew that you were worthy to be my husband. Marry me. I'm already married. This is my beloved wife, Sita. furious, the demoness Shrutaparkha reverted her actual form. "You refused me for this ugly mortal creature. I will devour her this very moment." But Lakshmana stepped forward. "Ah!" crying in agony, Shupanaka rushed to her brother Ravana, the king of Lanka. "Sister, who's responsible for your such state?" "Rama, the mere mortal. He has dared to insult you, great king of Lanka." The next day in Panchavati. "What a lovely deer. I would like to have it, my lord." "Lakshmana, do not leave Sita alone. I will soon return with the golden deer." "So you are playing tricks. Take that, you wily demon. Lakshmana, save me." "Meanwhile, Lakshmana, save me." "Lakshmana, that's your brother's voice. He's in trouble. Go and save him." "But Rama told me not to." "Don't worry about me. Go." Lakshmana made a circle with his arrow and chanted some mantras. "Please do not step out of this enchanted circle until I come back." Meanwhile, having killed the demon Maricha, Rama was hurrying towards the cottage. "Lakshmana, why did you leave Sita alone? But you called for help." "It wasn't me, but a demon. I hope Sita is all right." "Meanwhile, O pious lady, give alms to the sage." "I can't accept alms from you while you're inside an enchanted circle. It is humiliating for a sage." But the moment Sita stepped out, "Ha, ha, ha. Lord Rama, help me." A little later, Rama and Lakshmana reached the cottage and, "Sita, Sita, where are you?" Rama and Lakshmana ran about looking for Sita when Jatayu, what has happened? Who has done this to you? Evil Ravana has carried Mother Sita away. I tried to fight him, but he slashed my wings. Hi guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you next time. Bye.